Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I think TJ Watt. I feel like I know both sides are really motivated to get something done here. They don't want to go into training camp and have this thing drag on. The Rodgers domino fell. Deshaun Elliott's a nice player to have, but this was always going to be, let's get Rodgers in camp, and I think the TJ Watt deal has to get done. Now, from what I'm told, both sides want it to get done, obviously. TJ Watt's going to want a certain amount of money. Question is it a game of chicken where it's, okay, TJ Watt takes a deal that the Steelers offer, and then a week later, Micah Parsons blows his deal out of the water, and we're in the same place that we were beforehand. So it's always interesting to see when you're talking top of the market guys, who is going to take that offer first, who's motivated to get it done first, and who's willing to wait it out. Often we deal with the quarterbacks this way, but now with the pass rushers and what Myles Garrett and Max Crosby got this season, you're dealing with TJ Watt and Micah Parsons, who both believe they should be top of the market too. Who gets their deal first? Who agrees to a deal first? Could be really a game of chicken between those two guys, more so than the team versus player.
Peter Schrager now of ESPN, and then a guttural noise there from our guy Pat McAfee. I've been there. Sometimes you don't know what to say whenever somebody makes a really good point, and your brain is moving a little bit faster than your mouth, and it comes out like... Bleh. Doug Whaley joins us from 9 o'clock until 10. I think that is an interesting angle from Schrager, because we've all sort of thought, all right, you want to get paid more than Myles Garrett, so the Steelers probably, if they wanted to pay him on the front end. Make sure that you set the market instead of somebody else setting the market. But now you've got Trey Hendrickson up for a contract. You've got Micah Parsons up for a contract. Could it be that TJ Watt and his representation actually wants those now to get done first, and the holdup could be on TJ Watt's side of things?
No doubt about it. And I think this is when I was in that realm, I'd always start any negotiation saying, what's your ultimate goal? Is your ultimate goal to be the highest paid defensive player or highest paid person at your position? Then I know how to attack the conversation. If it's, hey, I have a number in mind. You meet that, I don't care. We're good. Because in the end, next year, somebody's going to surpass him. But if this is what they want to be in this year's crop of free agents or defensive ends or pass rushers that are eligible or want new contracts to set the benchmark, then they're going to wait. And this is going to be long and protracted. And it's going to really, I think, butt up against the start of the season, because everybody's going to be sitting on the sideline. Let me see what he does. Let me see what he does. So it's definitely going to be a game of chicken. Now, again, if they're just saying, if TJ says, I just want to be over Miles, that's going to be easy. And we all know that it's not going to be quick. That's just not how the Steelers operate. But you just don't know what the TJ and his camp really want to get out of this negotiation. And that's the key.
If they wait, and TJ Watt, say like that's the scenario that they want to wait for Hendrickson and Micah Parsons. Say Hendrickson gets 45. Say Parsons gets 50. You think the Steelers are really going to pay TJ Watt $51 million?
What are they going to do?
They backed themselves
in a corner.
Right, right. They did this to themselves.
Yeah, that's why you can say, hey, you had plenty of time to step up and just settle this.
It's just gonna
keep rising.
Do you think that they think that TJ will play this year no matter what? Like I hope they don't think that. It seems to me that that's how they think, because if they didn't think that way, they would have got it done before even Myles Garrett.
Because he can, I think it's week 6 or 7, as long as he's in by then, he gets accredited for that season. And then that's the last year of his contract. Then he can bounce.
It'll be like the Le'Veon Bell thing all over again.
Absolutely.
Where everyone sort of assumed that he was going to come back and report halfway through the year.
And then that's a little bit of the Steeler arrogance. If that's what they're thinking.
Right,
yeah. And I doubt it'll get to that point. No. But can you imagine if it did?
How can it, I mean, it's a possibility.
Both sides want to be here. Here's why I don't think it is, or at least this is how I'd frame it if I were Omar Khan. Okay, let's say Hendrickson, because he's up next, similar age, really great production last year. He gets slightly more than Myles Garrett. I think you can work off of that. If TJ wants to get paid more than whatever the hell Johnny Walker, Swilling, Jerry Jones is going to pay Micah Parsons, like, that's just, it's impossible. You can't do that. Like, I think TJ's had a better career to this point than Micah Parsons, but Parsons is 26. TJ's on the verge of becoming 31. Like, I don't know that he's a good comp, and they move him all around, and he's sort of a different player. I think if it's a Hendrickson deal that happens first, I think you're probably okay. If he's trying to work off of Parsons, though, who knows what the hell Jerry Jones is going to do?
That's what I'm saying.
I do think if there is going to be some sort of like legitimate in-season holdout, that would be wise if Watt's saying, I want more than Parsons. Well, I don't know that you can make that argument. That's a tough one to make.
And that's a gamble on both sides. Mm-hmm. Because if he sets out and the defense is hot garbage, he's putting his fingers back and feet up and saying, yes, I deserve it. And all we're talking about is you got to pay the guy. Now, if they don't miss a beat, then it's like, all right, no, here's what you take. But that's the chicken and egg, and that's the game with inside the game, which is awesome, I think. That's what makes it so intriguing.
I mean, essentially, he'd be screwing the Steelers, right, in the future. Yeah. You know, if he were to wait all the way to, like, say, let's say the number would be like 50 million. Say that Micah Parsons gets like 48, TJ gets 50. Like, you're screwing the Steelers. You're screwing the team of getting more players in the future.
That is an insane amount of money for a guy who's in the back nine of his career. Not to say he's washed or anything like that. If he stays healthy, I think he's got three probably great seasons ahead of him.
I mean, even 40 is insane for Myles Garrett. They just did that almost on purpose, it seemed like.
Here's a simple way to do it. In my opinion. All right, listen. You're on the back nine of your career. We all know this. We're not paying a quarterback now, and we probably won't be paying a quarterback for another 2, 4, or 5 years, yeah. But definitely not the next 2 years. I'll give you $100 million guaranteed the first 2 years and then tack on 40, 50. So 3 years, 150, 100 guaranteed the first 2 years. Boom, gone. Game, set, match. Boom. You're not hamstringing your team because the you have – cap space now, the cap is your hit's going to go down. Next year, you're not paying a quarterback. He'll have a cap hit of maybe 40, 50 million, but you can absorb it then. And then after that, you reassess. You either restructure or but the cap is also going to be going up.
Right.
Yeah. So that's how you do it. So, hey, then he's 33. You can make a decision then. Give the man his money his first 2 years, front load it. And say, good, you're good.
I think that's what the issue is. I think they want to have, you know, that 3 year window, and he wants more than that. I think that might be what the issue is.
Could be, absolutely. Could be.
The term of it.
But that's where you got to sit there and say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
At 33, 34, 35, let's look at pass rushers and how productive they've been. And for you, TJ, the way you train, the way you play, I'd rather start reducing your reps at 33, 34, where you can play those 2 extra years and be productive instead of being that 90% playtime guy.
Fold in a little Jack Sawyer here and there.
Here's our plan. So now that's when you say, okay, let's get together and see our overall plan for you going forward.
Doug, as a general manager, you had to have hated, and you could tell me if I'm wrong, when a team, and we'll use some examples here, like the Browns, they go above and beyond and wreck the market with a Deshaun Watson. Oh, we're not really, I mean, I guess they were outbidding teams, but $250 million guaranteed, and you just totally make the market wacky. Myles Garrett, oh, TJ's getting 28. Let's pay him 40. You've got Dak Prescott. Oh, let's give that guy $60 million. And those, to me, are the two biggest offenders, the Browns and the Cowboys. That must drive you and ownership around the league absolutely bonkers when you've got a market expectation and somebody comes in and just knocks the thing out of the park.
And let me just break it down, and you hit it, said it perfectly. And it's just to break it down the purest form for our listening audience. How many times have you heard, when's enough enough? These guys are getting paid. And the athletes say it's not about the money. What they're saying, it's about the money. It's about the respect. As in, if I feel I'm as good as this guy and he's getting this, I need to get this. If you're a mailman and you can deliver your route in an hour and you're getting paid $30 an hour, another person, mail person, does it in 2 hours in their route and they're getting paid $50, you're going to be like, how come I'm not getting paid $50? Mm-hmm. I'm doing better work than him and I'm getting paid less. That's how the public has to start thinking about it. The numbers are the numbers, and they're astronomical. But it's about my worth. Know your worth. And that's what these athletes are all saying. And it can translate to everybody in the world and what you do. It's just the numbers are just astronomical. In the end, though, these owners are paying the players, coaching staffs, personnel staffs, marketing staffs, and they're not doing it to lose money. So how much money are they making?
Right. A lot.
And, I mean, it's simple capitalism. We go to games. We buy the TV packages. Yeah. We spend our paychecks, have second incomes to get jerseys and all this stuff. Like, folks, these guys are worth what they're worth because we all consume this thing like it's religion in this country. So I always do get annoyed when people say stuff like that. I do want to get more to the disrespect angle of this. Deshaun Elliott just got a new contract in front of him that he signed. How does all of this affect what? We'll get to it when we come back. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You can text us. Any questions for Doug? Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Listen to that, Sweet Caroline. I should have teased this. My God. I should have teased this at the end of the last segment, but I'm bad at my job. Dave Wonsack going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Doran, didn't you sit next to him for like 15 hours on Saturday?
Yeah. Surprisingly. Didn't know it.
You didn't know he was going to be at the U.S. Open?
No.
How many beers did he see you drink?
Probably a 5.
Is that more or less than the number of beers you drank before the Sun Bowl?
That is,
where's the generator?
Uh-oh.
Our power went out.
Are we on air?
Are we on the air? I think we're going to continue
to. We're not on the air.
I think we got to progress like we are, though, don't we? We should keep going.
Oh, just keep going?
This isn't Iran, is it?
No.
What did you say?
Yeah. He said yes. Oh, it's not Gaza. Come on. Jeez.
All right, we're back on the
air. So where were you? Where were you sitting?
16th.
Okay.
16th hole there in the little suites there. But I think he had more than I did.
Wani?
Yeah.
Does Wani like his booze? Like in a responsible way?
Responsible way.
I'm not painting him in some sort of bad light here.
Cigars?
Of course, he's a Pittsburgh guy with a mustache. Have you ever met a Pittsburgh guy with a mustache that doesn't like beer? Answer is actually yes. It's Austin Bechtold. But apart from him.
No, never.
I think the answer is no.
Well, a Pittsburgh man with a mustache that weighs over 170 pounds. Let's put it that way.
Wow. We've really zoomed in on the parameters
120.
Here.
He's 100.
I weigh 148 pounds. He has to weigh less than me.
He might.
Or he's slightly taller than me. How tall is Craig?
6 foot.
He's the skinniest adult I've ever seen. Man.
Yeah.
You think Craig's 6 foot?
Yeah, he's probably about 6 foot, 5'11".
Wow.
112 pounds.
Yep. Yep.
Guy looks like a noodle. I'm going to get fired. Social media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. So we're all good. That power outage, we just stayed on the air the entire time. What do you know about this technologically, Harry? I have no idea. I've never been in that situation as a producer.
So the transmitter turned off, which means that we were not on the air for a few seconds. But once I reset the alarm, it went off, which means the transmitter came back on by itself. The computers in here stayed on, so the audio is good. We're still cutting audio. We still have commercial breaks. And the YouTube stream, unlike the transmitter, actually stayed on the whole time. So it was good you guys kept talking because we were still online.
Thank you. And now we know how to proceed.
Yes.
This damn weather around here, man. Like, we got wind out there. We got a storm someplace. Like, what happened?
Man, yesterday was absolutely crazy.
Off and on. But when it was on, it was on.
Yes. And then it would be just a sweat box after. Yep. It was just all humid and thick. Oh, it was miserable.
It was as humid as it's been yesterday.
We might as well be in Florida.
Walking outside yesterday, if you ain't sweating immediately. You ain't human. All right, moving on. Deshaun Elliott gets his contract extension. DK Metcalf, he got 5 years, $130 million. The Steelers waited around for 3 months for Aaron Rodgers to sign. Do we think all these things also are perturbing our guy TJ Watt? You think any of that bothers him?
No, okay, not at all. I mean, he understands and he's happy for every player that gets their money, and he just feels like his is about him, not about anybody else, and he's used to it. Every other extension he's done has been like this. It's been a protracted negotiation, so it's par for the course. He understands.
And some context, too. Cam Hayward's deal wasn't signed last year until September 3rd.
Yeah.
So we know how the Steelers do business. But it just does seem different this time around, that there's a little bit more. I mean, animosity is probably too strong of a word, but
Angst.
Like when you're sending out the Instagram picture and everyone's reading into it and then you don't stop and then your brother's going on the McAfee show and then also you're not showing up to minicamp or OTAs. It's just he's handling it different this time around.
It just seems different because there's a lot more competition at who's getting paid as well. Like I don't know back, 4 years ago, what the competition was like. Was there other edge rushers that were up for big deals? And were there other edge rushers that were in the same ballpark as TJ 4 years ago? Probably not. Now you have four. You have three. And they're up for deals too. So that's why it's different for me, because there's other guys that are getting paid around him this time. And he's waiting. Like, all right.
A handful.
A handful of guys that need to be paid.
And that's what
he hates one of them.
And, yes.
Right. And he's paying attention more to that than the Steelers are paying on their squad with Elliott and Metcalf and all those. This is his focus is on that. I really would like to know, what does he consider a win? What's he going to walk away with being like, all right, I'm good. I don't know.
I mean, that's the million-dollar question, or perhaps the $40-plus million-dollar question.
And like you said, does he want to be set the market, or does he just say, I got a number in mind, and I just want to beat Miles, and everybody else can go. That's where it gets hairy.
I think it really is all hinging on what his brother's telling him. I swear, that's what I think it is.
Sure.
Okay. I think his brother's like, you need to be paid the highest. Trust me. Like me, and I got to look back about see where JJ was paid, and obviously he was paid at the highest at one point, but maybe that other time around he wasn't and got burned. He's probably like, don't let that happen to you.
And he wound up not being a one helmet guy. Right. He wound up finishing his career and actually having a nice season in Arizona. And I mean, what would perturb me the most if I'm Watt is you said you want me to be here. Okay. Yeah. So you're going to have to pay the going rate. Now this has created a debate that I feel like arises twice a year when the Steelers play the Browns, and then even more so in the offseason. Who's better, Myles Garrett or TJ Watt? And we love Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima in Cleveland. Y'all know Pony. Well, Pony went on and, I mean, things got a little personal here, I think.
What has Myles Garrett done better than TJ Watt in his career?
Now, win a playoff game.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was one-on-one.
Like, win a playoff game in Pittsburgh. Win a playoff game in Pittsburgh. He won one.
So because he's 1-0 versus TJ Watt in the playoffs, he's therefore a better player. Is that what you're telling me?
Does it hurt the argument?
So
thank you very much.
Say whatever
you want. You know I'm right. So take up the air.
You're right because the defensive end won a playoff game and an edge rusher didn't.
So wait a minute.
You're right, Ken. By that logic, Max Starks is better than Joe Thomas, you idiot.
So you're telling me? Oh, you think that people? You think that people don't try to say that? You think that people don't try to use that on anything? No. You think that people don't try to do that? And then you're trying to say that they play different positions? Please.
Usually, when someone drops the "you know I'm right" line, you've lost the argument. Mm-hmm. I know that because I've done that quite frequently. I think Harry Callis can attest to that.
Yes.
Generally, you're also the loser of the argument when you call somebody an idiot.
Yeah.
You just come out and know, you, sir, are an idiot. But Pony wiped the floor with him there.
That Max Starks line was that was the ending.
I agree.
Yeah.
He didn't probably need to call him an idiot at the tail end of it.
Right.
But I think that was a great argument. You can't just say, playoff game. He won a playoff game. You know I'm right. Where are the facts? Where's the backing? There's no backing.
Mm-mm.
No backing.
But Pony didn't need to go there, call him an idiot. Yeah. Come on.
Hey,
have some professionalism.
You're right because the defense
I gotta find it one
won
more
a
time.
Playoff game and an edge rusher didn't.
So wait a minute.
You're right, Ken. By that logic, Max Starks is better than Joe Thomas, idiot.
So
and people are getting all hot and bothered, all mad, and intern Dom's getting everybody hot and bothered. Well, he learned from Pony.
Yeah.
And he got it there too, because you could. Ken went from being very deliberate,
yep.
and he was on his cadence, yep. right? All the P's and Q's. Then he just starts at the end. I mean, he's just firing rapid fire.
You think that people don't try to use that on anything? No. You think that people don't try to do that? And then you're trying to say that they play different positions. Wow. Please.
I don't think Ken breathed there at the end. All right. We don't want to take up too much time because we've got a very special guest, Dave Wannstedt, joining us next. We're going to get to Dave when we come back, catch up with an old friend. We're having a...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Day.
I like this groove, though, Harry Callis.
Look at you. Look at you trying to keep the peace over here.
Give him some positive vibes so he can come through in the pinch. So,
only been teasing Dave Wannstedt the entire show, and Harry's back there with intern RJ. Forgot to call him.
Well, you asked him once, and then he just kind of didn't even acknowledge
he
that.
He might not have heard me.
Where'd you get the Six Nations shirt?
My Guinness shirt?
Yeah.
Got him on in 15.2 seconds flat. Bam, he's on hold.
Why not 13.9 seconds
flat?
All right.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Dave Wannstedt joins us right now. And, Coach, how you doing today?
I'm good. Can you guys hear me okay? I'm out here. I'm watching a little football practice. That's what I'm doing, you know?
Pit practice?
We are practicing with no pads or anything, but I guess this is equivalent to the NFL's OTAs. They got no pads on, but they can do drills and everything for an hour or something like that. I don't, you know, how the rules change every 6 months. So, but this is, I had a great team visit this morning and then visited with Alan Green, the new AD, for a while, and just kind of watching a little ball here.
Coach, I saw you on Saturday at the U.S. Open, and, you know, we discussed, you know, having you come on the show, obviously, today, and you told me that you were going to talk to the Pitt football team. How different is it now, you know, college football, obviously, with the NIL and transfer portal compared to whenever, you know, back in 2009, whenever we were playing?
Well, the biggest thing is, and you know, it is the commitment from a team to – an is no different, but now all of a sudden it's not just a veteran team coming back with freshmen. As you know, there's 20 transfer portals here and 20 freshmen here. So the challenge now is to and everybody uses this word culture. It's to me, culture is commitment. Now the key is to get 50 new people, players from your team to make the same commitment in meetings, on the practice field, you know, I mean, in the classroom, get 50 players that are new to make that same commitment to win. Now, I think that Pitt has a nice advantage because they do have a winning blueprint for it. You know, Pat Narduzzi's done a great job. He's won games. So it's easy, if you want to, for a player to get committed and to jump on board, I think. So starting over is a challenge because now all of a sudden you got so many new players and it's a new culture and new that's a challenge. But I think Pitt's got a chance to bounce back a lot quicker than most people think.
Coach Wani, Doug Whaley, how you been, my man?
Doug, what's happening? I'm good.
Great. I got a question. Let's say you were elected the head of the NCAA and they actually had power to reconstruct college athletics. How would you construct it for future success?
Well, the number one thing, the two biggest issues, obviously, are the transfer portal, when and how. I think, okay, you want to have a transfer portal. You know, I would have a time frame. The season is over, okay? Recruiting started so that everybody has an equal, you know, for the next 6 weeks, if you want to leave, you can leave. But then after that, don't even talk about it because there's no transfer portal. We got to have our team ready, and we got to get back going. I think that would bring more quality to the teams, which obviously everybody's trying to get the best product on the field. And the second thing is with this NIL stuff, God, I mean, you know, I know they're trying to put a cap on it now, and and they're making some adjustments for next year. But, you know, I'm probably a tough one to talk to about the NIL, to be honest with you, Doug, just because, you know, I mean, I'm still with a school that you're getting, you know, hey, help the kids out as much as you can, but it's not equal for everybody at equal schools. Where before you had the scholarship and everything was pretty much equal. You were going to get the same scholarship at Ohio State as you were at Pitt. Well, that's not going to be now the same because of the NIL. So I don't know where you go with that thing. But the transfer portal, I think you could definitely put a cap on that and limit that.
Dave Wonstadt with us here on the Fan Morning Show. This might come out of left field, but Dorn, you know I have to do this. So Rich Rodriguez back at West Virginia. You guys obviously have a history. Do you guys have any kind of relationship, first of all? And second of all, they're going to have 80 new players here. Would you ever think he'd be the kind of guy who would try to exist in this kind of college football world that there is today?
Well, yes and no. And I do. Number one, I do have a good relationship with Rich. I'll be very honest with you. In fact, when I left Pitt and he left West Virginia, I was doing Fox. In L.A., and we were doing a lot of Pac. It was the Pac-12 then, Arizona. He was at Arizona, and I had him on the air a couple of times and on TV. So we, and he ended up hiring a guy that I recommended, Matt Dudek, who is, Dora knows, was one of my recruiting guys, an academic guy. Rich ended up hiring him on my recommendation out at Arizona. So we do have a rapport. I think Rich is an outstanding coach. I really do. Do I think that he can handle the portal? You know, I would say yes. I think that West Virginia can probably do things down there. You know, they're the only. It's a situation where there's probably more money and more commitment than most teams because they're the only big player in the state. Let's face it. And so he'll get them rallied and he'll get players in there and he'll develop a good scheme. So he'll make some noise. I think that he will definitely make some noise in the Big 12.
Coach, do you think Aaron Rodgers at 41, 42 years old and the Pittsburgh Steelers will work out this year? I mean, like work out to the fact where they actually win a playoff game or maybe even win two playoff games? Or do you think it's just a shot in the dark that, hey, we're going to take our chance on Aaron Rodgers because we have no other direction to go at quarterback?
Well, I would say this. Number one, that I hope it works out for the Steelers and for Aaron and everybody. The question that I have, and I was watching this thing close because of what – you know, Watt's contract situation, you know that he's going to want Myles Garrett money and probably deserves it and on. So I was watching that, and if they did not, if the Steelers did not sign Aaron Rodgers and they went with Mason Rudolph, I says, okay, they're probably going to trade Watt and get a couple first-round draft picks and build for the future. But the minute that they signed Aaron Rodgers, in my mind, that's they're in. They want to win right now. So they'll probably get Watt done as far as a contract. I would expect that. And the biggest question with Aaron that I have is not with Aaron. He had a good year last year. Steelers have the supporting cast to give him the best chance. You know, when you look at that Jets team, and I know the wins and losses and all that, but the Jets had a very good defense, right? They you know. And they had a good back, and between Devontae Adams and Wilson, Garrett Wilson at receiver, the Jets had some firepower, you know, to help Aaron. I just hope that the Steelers, the guys that they have in those skilled positions, running back and receivers, that group can give him the best chance to be successful because he's going to need some help. He's not the Aaron Rodgers of old. There's no question about that. So I'm hoping he has a good year. I think the supporting cast will be a key for his success.
That's a good lead into my question, Coach. Talk about, from a head coaching perspective, having a team with a bona fide star quarterback and your thought process to one where you need a quarterback to have such a supporting cast around. How do you attack that season? Can you talk to our listening audience about that?
Well, that's how I kind of, as you know, Doug, that's how I live my life with having so I'm not a good enough supporting cast at the skill spot. And, you know, I mean, I would always, to me, the quickest way to help your quarterback is to run the football. And I mean, run the football and become a top 10 rushing team in the NFL. Can the Steelers do that, you know, with their offensive line and their backs? And are they, is Arthur Smith committed to that? You know, I mean, that's the starting point. That's where I would start. I mean, you're not going to invent wide receivers. I mean, the guys you have are probably pretty much what you have. They can all get better and they can all play better. We know that. But, I mean, to run the ball with a quarterback like Aaron, I think is a must, to give him a chance to slow down that pass rush and to set up some play action passes, which he does a great job of. I think it can't be lip service. It cannot be lip service, or you're not going to get the most out of them. That's my opinion only.
Dave Wannstedt, bring in the fastball. We appreciate you jumping on with us today.
Okay, guys. Anytime.
Coach, thanks, Coach. Give my love to Jen.
Okay, man. We'll talk to you guys. All right. See you.
Thanks, Coach.
What a cool dude.
Yes. Now you're going to ask him the question of top three foods.
Yeah!
Yep.
I wanted to get Wani's voice talking about Thai food. Because we had a debate earlier in the show, what's the best out of the Chinese, Mexican, Italian, Greek, Thai, and French foods? And I would have loved to hear him answer a question about that, and I forgot to do it.
You're not on your game today.
No, I'm not. Someone also texted in and said, can Doran do his impression of Dave for Dave? Have you ever done your impression of Dave to Dave?
No.
That's why I didn't want to bring it up on the air.
Thank you. No, because you know that I would have to do it. I could not do it.
No, because then he would be pushing you.
Yes.
Yeah. And you set the over-under total on times he would say a bad word at 0.5. He went under totally shocked.
Yeah, he did.
Totally shocked.
I thought
shocked.
It was going to get close at a certain point, but
we didn't really give him a question where he would have to go there.
Right.
We gave him some softballs, just really football questions, nothing that would light his fire.
I'll set the line at 1.5 the week of the backyard brawl.
Yeah. And I think I'll take the over. Yeah. I also think if I asked you to do the impression of Dave to Dave and you refused, we probably would have gone over the 1.5 with him prodding you to get you to do the right. The impression. All right, he said a lot of good stuff about the Steelers there, too, that we're going to react to a little bit when we come back. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Always good catching up with Dave Wannstedt. Super cool guy. I said like a month ago I would never call a man coach in an interview.
I think you actually specifically said Wannstedt.
I think it was Wani that I was talking about.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I introduced him, and then I said, thanks for joining us, coach. I'm such a friggin' loser.
Yeah, just to loop this back to earlier, yeah, mm-hmm. You really think you could just insult people or tell them that their movies are bad right to their face, and yet you just...
I can't even say to Dave Wannstedt to call him Dave or Wani or something.
Here's a question. This is not political. Do you always have to call every ex-president Mr. President?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
That's why I was thinking, coach, every coach is a coach.
Right.
No matter.
Yeah, I never change.
Even casually, I'll try to... drop in President Obama, or when Trump wasn't in office, President Trump.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cows, do you know where Wannstedt went to college?
Why would I know the answer to that question? Well, no, I don't know. Did he go to Pitt?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, well then.
You know where he went to high school?
I feel like a jackass. Montour?
Baldwin.
Oh.
All right. You were in the city.
Yeah,
though.
You're close.
Yeah.
Hey. Why would I know the question?
That was about to be an all-time just me losing my mind. That was about to be an all-time moment, and I'm happy we didn't have to go there. Doug, what's your favorite type of cuisine? If your choices are Italian and Mexican and Thai food, we'll react to some of what Wannstedt had to say on tomorrow's show, Dora. Yeah.
If I I'm biased on this one. I got to go Greek food. My wife's
That's
Greek.
What started it.
Yeah.
Your wife's Greek.
Yeah, so I got to go Greek.
It's healthy. Was blown
it's great,
away.
It's unbelievable.
Blown away. The Mediterraneans know what they're doing,
yeah.
Man.
It's the Mediterranean diet. And that's mm-hmm. why, if you look, there are a couple islands over in Greece and Japan. Greece and Japan have the long, what do they call it? It's something like the blue zone or something where you live the longest.
Yeah. You saw that documentary?
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix?
Yep. Exactly.
It's everyone in there. All the people who eat the Mediterranean food and like garden.
Yeah.
Like, none of them lift weights. None of them exercise, but they're alive. They're walking from store to store. They're walking all around town. They eat the Mediterranean food. They live till they're 165 years old.
I went and island hopped in Greece one time, and this is before I met my wife, and I ate my face off. But you're walking everywhere, and everything is right out of the garden. It's not. There's no preservatives.
No, it's
they're not
fresh.
Shooting the chickens with hormones, or the cows with hormones, or the lambs. It's unbelievable. First place I tried octopus, too. I walked up, and it was like... their happy hour special. And I was like, I don't know, octopus. The guy says, if you don't like it, I'll pay for it. Huh. I ended up buying two.
I mean, this show has now come full circle because we were talking about the octopus, the mighty octopus earlier in the show. Oh. How would you say octopus, but plural?
Octopi?
Let's go. About that?
Yeah. Okay.
Doug, this was wonderful. The last hour, a total blur.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Week. I'm getting a gyro.
That does sound really good.
Right freaking now.
That sounds really good.
Extra tzatziki sauce. Is that how you say it?
Tzatziki.
Tzatziki. Oh, yeah. Just slathering on there.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yes, it does. All right, Papa Joe up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:40. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 81, low of 69, and no shocker at all, 65% chance of rain.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.